Radio WBOB.
Is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the week. And I want to comment on a story that happened a couple of days ago. And this, to me, is just kind of really astounding at the way that people are reacting to the story, the direction that the story went. And this is Jim Acosta is a reporter that works for CNN. And he had his hard pass, they're calling it, revoked, which means that he tries to get into a press conference now with the president, and he can't go. And so the reason that this happened is because, you know, when you have the news conference, the president is up there and he calls on a reporter, the reporter asks a question, then he calls on another reporter, the reporter asks a question, and so on, right? Well, Jim Acosta asked a question, several questions actually, and the president indulged him. And then he said, basically, your turn's over, now give it to somebody else, right? Somebody else's turn now. The White House intern tries to take the mic several times. Jim Acosta blocks her physically with his hands to stop her from getting the mic. And so the White House is calling that assault. And, you know, I think when they're saying assault, I think they mean the legal term of assault, which is like you can't touch somebody, because assault, the word assault used in the common vernacular makes you think that you just went totally, you know, assaulted somebody, right? You just jumped them. And that certainly didn't happen, okay? So the reporter tried to take the microphone, and Jim Acosta used his hand. He did like some Wing Chun move or something like that. He did some karate on her and stopped her from getting the mic, right? Okay, but it was very, like, passive, yeah? But he did make contact with her and physically stopped her from getting the microphone for several attempts. And when I first saw this footage, I was shocked because I thought, you know, if this was a liberal, if this was a conservative doing this, that the liberals would be so mad at the conservative for treating a woman like this, where the intern is clearly doing her job, trying to get the microphone because the man's turn is over, and the man, Jim Acosta, stops her from doing her job and blocks her. And the poor intern, you know, she turns around and she looks at Trump from after this, and like, what do I do? I mean, she looked at him like, I don't know what to do. He won't let me get the microphone. And, you know, their job at these things, the intern's job at these press conferences, is basically to stay out of the way and do a smooth transition from one speaker to another. So she's ducking to stay out of camera view. She comes up to try to get the mic and then quickly moves it to somebody else so that she's not on camera and stuff like that. And if you look at the original C-SPAN footage, it's pretty shocking, in my opinion, Jim Acosta's behavior. And again, you know, if he was a conservative, if he was a Fox News person, probably, the liberals would be going nuts, right? If it was an Obama staffer, they would be going crazy right now. And it just shows, still clearly shows the bias here. Now, Jim Acosta is like part of the resistance, right? He doesn't like Trump. He's always talking much trash about him, and he calls him a racist. I mean, I'm looking at do commentary on this ad that was run for the midterms that is showing this caravan, which Jim Acosta has labeled a group. I mean, these are thousands of people, right? He just acts like they're just a group of people, but the advertisement shows a caravan actually demolishing barriers and getting around barriers, which is illegal. They shouldn't be doing this. And then Jim Acosta is angry at Trump for showing this advertisement. And Trump says, well, they're not actors. I mean, this is really happening. Now, the reason I'm bringing up this segment of the conversation is because Time, you know Time Magazine, right? Well, they have a website now, and they have a YouTube channel. And YouTube has just gone to crap, right? I mean, it used to be that if you wanted to see something on YouTube, you could type it in, and then a bunch of people would pop up in the search results, and the most popular people, generally in order, or the newest results would show up. Well, YouTube has changed their algorithm so that now if you type in a current event, only CBS, ABC, and the NBC, the so-called mainstream media, is what pops up. So you can't find the truth anymore, right? So I wanted to just get a quick clip of the confrontation between Jim Acosta and Donald Trump. So I type in Acosta-Trump confrontation or something like that, and Time Magazine pops up. And Time Magazine says, the headline is, full confrontation between, you know, full exchange. That's what they said. Full exchange between Donald Trump and Jim Acosta. Now, I want to bring your attention to the word full, because the word full was in all caps, as if this is the definitive video that you need to watch if you want to see the full exchange that got, you know, that created so much controversy. You're not going to believe this, guys. This is Time, okay? Once trusted news source. They edited out the conversation that I just told you guys about of Jim Acosta questioning Donald Trump's advertisement and Donald Trump saying those aren't actors. They took that part out to make it seem that Jim Acosta was just, you know, completely white knighting and in the right of this argument and not showing Trump's rebuttal. Very, very unfair. And this is the reason they're called fake news. It's not that they're faking the news, but they're creating a false perception of what actually happened, of a false perception of reality. You can't say full exchange, and it's not the full damn exchange, especially when you are a big a name as Time Magazine. You're a trusted news source. You can't be doing stuff like this, or you shouldn't be. Obviously, they can. But this is, you can't do it and not have consequences such as being called fake news, phony news, really fake news, etc., etc. And then they come back and they cry about it. They cry about Donald Trump calling them, calling fake news the enemy of the people. You know, I don't care how liberal you are. You have got to acknowledge that when you write the word full exchange, that, and then you edit it so that it's not the full exchange, that you're doing something wrong. It's just unbelievable what they're able to get away with. It really, really is. And speaking of getting away with things, the story, which you would think would spin into a massive debate of whether or not it's okay for Jim Acosta to be such a jerk to a woman or even to the president. Instead, this story has become how mean Donald Trump is, or how mean the White House is, and therefore Donald Trump, to revoke Jim Acosta's pass. And not only that, they are actually claiming that the White House has lied about the contact. I mean, this is unbelievable, because you can just go to the video and look at it. Now, here's what they're saying. So, Sarah Sanders tweeted out a explanation saying that something along the lines of, you can ask Trump whatever questions you want. We welcome it. We welcome the hard questions. But what we don't welcome is an assault on an intern or a staffer or whatever she said. And then she puts out a video which shows the incident and shows like a close-up of it. Now, these fools are claiming that this video was doctored. and therefore somehow invalidates the entire incident. They said it was sped up. They said it was slowed down. They're saying that the video is fake. Guys, just look at the original damn video and you can clearly see that it's not faked. Now, BuzzFeed did send out a series of tweets showing that if you convert video from the original 29.97 or whatever frames a second it is, and you convert it down to 15 frames a second or 10 frames a second, some frames will be dropped and the action will look faster than it actually was. So people are saying that the video is phony because Jim Acosta's arm didn't actually hit her that hard. Again, look at the original video and make up your own mind. But to say that the video is fake and that the incident didn't happen is completely irresponsible. And they're not the only ones saying that. They asked, let me see here. I can't find it right now, but they asked one of his fellow reporters, and his fellow reporter says that he didn't see the incident. He saw him just holding the mic and that he didn't make contact with her. But that dude, if it's a person I'm thinking of, was on the other side of him. Just watch the original C-SPAN video and you can see that he clearly is physically blocking her from taking the microphone. Now, when the president says your turn is over, especially after he's let you get away with several questions, and he says your turn is over and wants you to pass the mic, and the intern comes up to grab the mic, since you've already asked several questions and spent more time with him than I'd seen any other reporter do, go ahead and let her take the mic from you. Okay? It's not tough. You know how they're always saying reporters, you know, they call them the paparazzi, you know, these people, and how they're always trying to fight each other and get a picture of you, of the movie star, and they are trying to get the movie star to say something or do something that can make news. That is what Jim Acosta is. So he might work for a big news organization, but I'm telling you, if he gets fired from CNN, he's going straight to the Inquirer because that's where he belongs, in my opinion. Oh, yeah, I guess I should talk about the midterm elections. Was it a blue wave? Kinda. I mean, the Democrats took the House. So, I mean, that's sort of a blue wave, right? In the Senate, the Republicans actually picked up a couple of seats. Now, I looked at past midterm elections, and for the last few, the Democrats have actually done, or not the Democrats, but whatever party was in power, the opposite party traditionally does way better. I remember when, who was it? I think it was Bush that was elected, or was it Obama? And the other party that took power, and I remember the news referring to it several times as a bloodbath, right? A bloodbath. Another time it was referred to as, what was it called? Just a massive change of power, right? But this time around, it's not really being described as that by either side. So, you know, I think it was kind of even, which I guess if you look at it one way, can be seen as a victory for Donald Trump. I mean, normally the power changes hands a lot more strongly than it did. On the other hand, the Democrats did take the House. Now, Trump was spinning this as a positive, saying that he'll be able to work with Democrats probably better than if we had gotten more Republican members of the House, because he said that the Republicans would act as holdouts. I guess I can see where he's coming from. It does seem like that whenever you have a party in power as the majority in both houses of Congress and have the president, have them as a president, that like nothing gets done. So we'll see, but I don't know. I think that you could say that the Democrats had a victory here, but you could probably also argue that it wasn't a wave too, at least not a giant one, right? All right, let's see what we got next. This is kind of interesting. So if there's any white people listening to the show, you might not be happy with this here. On, when is this? November 8th, the Daily Beast came out with an article And here's the headline of the article. This is the title of the article. Dear White Lady, what are you doing to us? Which to me is, I would think, you know, if you're a white, especially if you're a woman, white woman, that is a little inflammatory. And then it goes on here to basically berate white women for sticking with Donald Trump. This comes a day after Sinead O'Connor came out. And does anyone remember Sinead O'Connor? You know, she was a singer, attractive, I guess, but she went crazy. Like way before Britney Spears did, she shaved her head and she tore up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live. And her big hit was Nothing Compares to You, right? They played it on the radio. So I hated that song. So I've disliked Sinead O'Connor for a long time, man. They would always play that song and I'd always to turn the channel when I had the chance, but a lot of times I didn't have the chance and I had to listen to that whole damn song over and over and over again. It's one of those overplayed songs, right? At least it was back in the day. I actually haven't heard it for a long time. But anyway, she came out herself. I would consider Sinead O'Connor white, right? I think most people would, right? O'Connor, with Sinead O'Connor. And she converted to Islam. And here's the tweet that she wrote. Now, she's calling herself... she's got a different name, and I can't pronounce it with my tongue. But it says, "I'm terribly sorry. What I'm about to say is something so racist I never thought my soul could ever feel it. But I truly never want to spend time with white people again. Parentheses. If that's what non-Muslims are called. End parentheses. Not for one moment. For any reason. They are disgusting." Now, I'm no linguist, but it seems to me that the wording of that tweet is a bit aggressive. And it's hard to tell, you know, because maybe if she was saying, you know how when you are talking to someone in person, they can put inflection in their voice and it gives a different tone to the tweet. So maybe she doesn't mean it as harsh as it sounds, but just reading it seems pretty harsh. Maybe let's see if I could read it and soften it up a little bit. "I'm terribly sorry. What I'm about to say is something so racist, never thought my soul could feel it, but I truly never want to spend time with white people again. Not for one moment, for any reason. They're disgusting." No, man, it's just harsh. There's no way you can restate that to make it nicer. It's a terrible tweet. Nothing compares to you, Sinead, really. But, you know, there can be some good news gleaned from this, I think. Because if you were a white person, okay, and Sinead O'Connor said that, and just pretend for a moment Sinead O'Connor was black or brown or whatever, with a person of color, wouldn't you be more insulted by it, I would think, right? So I'm bringing this up because I find that most of the controversial things that are said about white people, most of the things that you could consider racist that I read that are said about white people are from other white people. So I think that is probably a better thing than if it was from people of color. Just like, you know, if a black person was insulting other black people, I would think, oh, that's odd. But at least there's not a race war brewing, right? At least it's not between the races with animosity, right? They're just, I don't know, they're just kind of, I don't think there's that much of a difference between classifying a group of people, whether or not you belong to that group, although it is a little bit stranger because normally people would say, hey, I love my school. They wouldn't say my school sucks, but I mean, whatever. I mean, Sinead O'Connor's a little strange, but I do see this even from people who are otherwise normal. So it's almost like a trending thing. It's almost like a cool thing. You know, a long time ago, my sister and I were out playing, And she did something that was kind of goofy. I can't remember what it was. I think she threw something up in the air and it came down and it hit herself on the head or something. Instead of pretending she was cool, she said, oh boy, I'm a dummy. And then after she said that, I mean, it just kind of came out of her. I think she was thinking it and just came out, right, out loud. I was going to be like, you know, you're not a dummy. It was just an accident. But then she says, well, I'm stupid. And then she started to, you could see there was kind of a freedom on her face, right? You could see that she kind of let go of her ego for a second, and she started marching around and going, I'm an idiot, you know, I'm a, just calling herself names and stuff. And I feel like that's what a lot of liberals are doing nowadays, right? They, instead of trying to hold on to the ego, they're saying, hey, look at me, I'm so great. I don't care about my own race. And I'm part of that race. That means that I don't have any ego about myself. And I'm not a linguist, I'm not a psychologist. But I kind of see this as a sort of an advanced form of grandstanding. Or as they would say nowadays, virtue signaling, right? And I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not. But again, I reiterate my point, which is that the most insulting things that I see written about white people are from other white people. So, you know, if you put somebody on a TV screen and you said, Edman, this person is about to assault an entire race of people, what race do you choose for them to insult? I would rather them not insult anybody, but if they had to insult a race of people, it'd be better if they insulted the race of people that they belong to, because I think the rest of humanity would take that insult less seriously. And take that person less seriously, too. Now, one other thing here which I want to bring up, and that this might also be encouraging in a way, I suppose. First, the bad news, which is that Tucker Carlson's house was surrounded by Antifa, and they did damage to his property. They cracked his door. They yelled out threats. His address has been released. They encouraged more of this stuff against him in the future. They said things like, we know where you live, we know where your children sleep, or where your wife sleeps, or something like that. And really scary, scary, awful stuff. And I think he wasn't home at the time. I believe his wife was home when this was happening, and of course, you know, she was scared out of her mind. This is insane stuff. Now, luckily, the liberal press, many members of the liberal press have come out against this. Of course, the conservatives came out against this, and this is nuts. And yes, many liberals came out. And you know what I saw from some of the liberals? They said, you know, we were doing great because of the shootings, that these recent shootings, and that a lot of these recent shootings were done by conservatives. And, you know, and so we were doing good. And now you guys pull this, and now it seems like we're even again. I think that's kind of a crummy reason to denounce something. But, I mean, look, there are crazy people on both sides. There really are. And to think of it in terms of you know, a political ploy, I don't think is accurate, especially since you're always going to get a nut on one side or the other. But this was an organized thing. And I also noticed that a lot of them didn't call Antifa out by name. They just said that Tucker Carlson's house was surrounded. They didn't mention who actually did it, maybe because Antifa is a group that many liberals actually support. But what a scary and frightening situation. I think that as you know, I don't mind if there is high rhetoric on both sides, but when you're telling people to do violent things, now you are crossing the line. And when you're telling people to harass other people, you know that's going to spill over into violence, and you're just getting too close to that line. And I'm pretty darn sure that if Tucker Carlson was home and if he walked outside, somebody probably would have thrown a brick at him. So I'm glad that these liberal places are denouncing this violence, and that is an encouraging sign. So maybe we have now gotten up to the line, but aren't going to cross it. And I hope that that's the case. We need to learn that politics is politics, are ideas, and not let that cross over into physical.